This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing, and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of. And welcome back to the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for your support this past few weeks. We're in studio today with the Napster. Most of you will know him in his comedic persona rather than as a thought leader in terms of cultural expression and first language expression in the South African advertising industry, which is a major breakthrough. Doc, I know this one's close to your heart as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Gordon. Nice to see you again. Napster, last time you and I spoke, you were at Ogilvy as one of the main creatives on our account, and a little bit later at FTV, again on our account. And it's wonderful. And now you've gone and left the big corporate houses, and you've got your own shop. And again, you and I have had the benefit of having some chats at your place with some really young, vibey guys.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thanks for having me here. I think it's always really cool when we get the opportunity to have conversations like these. Just real conversations where we can talk about our world and some of the challenges that we face. I think for me, the biggest transition has been just transcending those three worlds. One being a performing artist on stage. Mm. The other one moving from being a copywriter and creative director in advertising to being an entrepreneur. You know, and I think for me that those have been some of my highlights and my challenges, just basically transcending into those three phases and kind of find the building blocks of finding myself, you know, as a businessman, but also trying to keep the integrity of being a creative, because at the end of the day, I'm a creative. You know, I get paid to be creative, but, you know, challenges of a startup is you don't have a team, so... You are your manager, your accountant.
You know. I think we know that. I think we know that feeling. We look around for someone to do something and you kind of worked out it's only you.
Absolutely. But I mean, I think, it's great because you get to learn. You get to learn and you get to get some perspective on what it takes to run, to run something. You know, I think, a lot of artists, they are blessed to have systems and people around them, but they have no idea of the engine that runs in the background.
Sure.
What's your view on the thought that the art of copywriting is dead? I mean, there seems to be a growing meme to suggest that copywriting in and of itself is under siege. I've become a very visual industry and a lot of video execution, and the great copy of the past is not that evident these days. I mean, even if I look at some of the Cannes Awards this year, so lots of visuals. I see the best out-of-home campaign in the world is a picture of, you know, Colin Kaepernick's head and a whatever the power. You know the power.
It's a Nike, Dream Crazy.
But I mean, like, is that great copy? Or so copywriting dead or not?
So it's actually interesting that you asked me that, because I actually was involved with the AAA School of Advertising. I run a mentorship program where I help introduce young guys from previously disadvantaged communities into the industry. And AAA told me last year they had eight copywriters.
Eight copywriters.
They went from 50-something over the years to eight.
That horrifies me.
So two things are happening in my view. One, there is just the disregard of formal language due to social media. So look at the way we communicate on text. Look at the way we communicate on WhatsApp, online, even emails these days. Everything is abbreviated.
Mm.
Everything is slang. So there's a huge challenge with the fact that people are no longer writing. I'm actually looking at you here. You're writing freehand, which is actually interesting. A lot of people don't do that anymore because we know the importance of writing freehand and how it triggers a different part of your brain. So I think that the rise of social media has definitely contributed to the death of copywriting. I think it's just got to do with interest. You know, these kids don't understand that writing is beautiful, reading is beautiful, and, you know, everything is quick, everything is fast. So, you know, it just seems so long and boring in its process, but it takes time and it's so rewarding at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, you reach that conclusion, because I'm blessed with 8 grandchildren. I sit and watch them, and yeah, they love the mobile phone and they love to touch the screen. They love the interaction. There's no question about that. But they seem to have a very clear dividing line between reading something in the texture of paper versus the screen. But we're getting off the track here, which is something we have to get back onto. So, I mean, one of your passions, as a young black creative guy coming into an industry which has got a long way to go, and don't get me going on the subject of transformation, okay, because we are very confused about compliance and transformation. That'll be for something in the new year, Doc, that we're going to talk about. But, you know, why is it that we have to actually convince marketers that communicating in the mother tongue is beneficial to the advertising? I think a point we raised in some of our earlier discussions is that if I'm in France, I don't have to speak to French marketers and convince them to communicate in French. It's a given. French is not a target market. It is a medium for communication. Zulu is not a target market. It's a medium for communication. Afrikaans is not a target market. It's a medium. So how have we got this thing so completely confused?
I really love your angle at the fact that you are breaking them down as target markets and not something that's actually out of the ordinary and should be treated like that. I think the biggest problem is change. I mean, Doug will know. The biggest challenge that we have with big corporates and clients, it's red tape, bureaucracy, and systems and processes that take time to change, you know. And one of those is the fact that the black consumer has been put into a box. So you still have today where you'll argue with a client about a Zulu headline being centered, you know, as if there are no black people in Sandton, as if the most impactful Zulu headline is in Soweto. You know, that's just ignorant, and that's just refusing to conform and to embrace change.
So picking up on that one, how would somebody, as a Travelodge or CityLodge, who won the Cannes radio?
TVAA and CityLodge.
That blew me away. That made my whole Cannes kind of following to see a radio, because they keep telling me it's a Cinderella and a medium, but David Ogilvie said it's dying. And local radio and local nuance and local language blow the world away. How did that happen?
I think two things. One is we have to distinguish between awards work and real work.
Okay.
And I'm not
We're
going
to go to the naughty corner for that one.
I'm not saying in any way that was spoof work. But I'm saying a lot of the time I found that awards work is more embraced over traditional work, you know, at that level where you are entering something internationally for work that actually flighted for a very long time and became a campaign that we all loved and knew and embraced. You know, for example, if Celsius summer campaign was done in Zulu and it ran for 12 months and we all knew it. And then that starts affecting change, you know? So I think it definitely was awesome. I know those guys very well. I was blown away by the thing. I think it's definitely, the beginning blocks of leading us in the right direction of proving that, listen, mother tongue is very, very powerful, because Nelson Mandela said, if you speak to someone in their own language, I mean, right there, you hit them in the heart. So I think it's leading us in the right direction, but I want to see us getting to a point where a brand is doing a summer campaign in Vanak and not even blinking.
And I mean, let's just chat for a second. And Napster, you guys did a great piece of work for Telkom earlier, and that was done. And just run us through it. I mean, I know the story, but for the sake of the listeners, tell us about how you got the people together. And the big idea was then sent out at the same time. Everyone wrote it, and you used quite a lot of comedy. You used comedians, but to get the nuance, and you used vernacular radio as the delivery mechanism.
So Telkom was really, really cool. We just had a client that was brave, and an agency that definitely had an appetite to try something new. And one of the things that they were passionate about was, can we not just speak to consumers in their language, and can we regionalize our message? So, you know, wherever you're from, wherever those ads flighted, you got the sense that someone understands your community. So that was a really, really great opportunity. They called us. I mean, traditionally, you will know, we get called in at the end of the process. And when I say we, I mean your traditional translators will get called in at the end of the process. A script will be written in English. And then you come at the end and translate it. And a lot of stuff gets lost in translation. So the cool thing about this was, we were called at the beginning of the process. They said, guys, here's the big idea. How would you like to execute this? So, because the brand had a comedic slant, we said, we have a network of comedians and collaborative writers that we work with. The cool thing about our team is, we have a writer that represents every single language, and they come from the area. So we were like, let's just let these guys write, let them write for the area. If there's a character there, there's a crazy guy there in that street, they must mention him. So the listener goes, oh my gosh, how did they even know this? And that was what was really, really powerful and cool about the Telkom Summer Radio campaign is, we really got to do that. And the writers were just given the space to be themselves without the filter of trying to translate something and, you know, using English as a benchmark.
Well, that's great. It's a great story. And it's and as you say, you know, hopefully it is the start of good things to come, because over my career, most of the work was presented to me in English, because, you know, that was the business language. And, you know, I don't understand too many of the languages. So I suppose it was easier then, but I suppose, you know, as marketers change, markets change, people change, creatives change, you got to get that level of authenticity. You never lose the message, but understand the nuances and the rich layers of texture that makes us all South Africans.
Absolutely. And I think that's it, right? It's the power of the diversity.
No.
You know, I mean, I'm not in any way advocating that we should now be doing Zulu only, or English only, or Afrikaans only. I think the beauty of this country, and everyone says it when they come here, is just this melting pot of diversity. And then there's our dialects, and then there's our slang. You know, why can't brands do a summer campaign in our own slang?
Yeah.
You know, there's just words you'll never find anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that those are some of the things that I really am looking forward to, where brands can just be brave enough to go, let's go.
And I think, you know, picking it up on that from the media angle, that stations should be bold enough to accept it. So, I mean, I'm a little out of touch with that, but I mean, SABC has unbelievably strong assets in this. But are they open-minded now? Can I go on to an Ukhozi FM or a Mamplobo Wineni and use a bit more of that kind of street lingo? Or are we still trying to create the purest perspective? Because that's going to be the barrier. The listeners, and it's going to cost them in the end, because the guys are going to just swap stations.
Absolutely. It's funny you say that, because that's actually the challenge that we actually overcame with the Telkom case study. So there's a percentage now, I believe there's, I think it's 60-40 or 70-30, where 30% of it must be formal language and 70% slang is allowed, as long as it's understood. And then, but I think there's still challenges with it. There's something like the certain number of English words that are allowed. You know, that's not authentic, because, you know, I can be speaking English to you right now, and then Kichinjikwe Sotho. which is normal to me.
Yeah.
You see, but in their head, no, the consumer speaks Sotho, therefore they must speak. And I'm like, that's not how the brain, that's how the brain works.
It's crazy in today's tough economy, in today's market where you need to move stuff, keep customers happy, get your brand scores up, do it all those things you have to do. That a station, Gordon, can't see that. See that people don't speak the Queen's English or for that matter, purist Zulu or any other language.
And you know, the evidence is there to support an initiative like this. I mean, we used to laughingly talk about Radio Sonnegrense as Radio Sonnemense, okay? Because they were so locked into the Volksmond kind of strictly correct
formal.
The moment they broke that down and started mixing and matching it, you know, the station has taken off. It's an incredibly powerful station because it's delivering, you know, at the community level, the heart and the spirit and the intent of the language rather than the nth degree political correctness of the word.
Mm.
And you know what I think it is also? I think it's largely also got to do with advertisers and marketers.
Mm.
Think about it. So you'll have a show on YFM where presenters are allowed to speak 50-50.
Mm.
You know, they can mix a bit of Zulu, a bit of English. But the moment the ads go on, they must be in English.
Yeah.
And there's a problem there. The same thing with the Sesotho station, you know, they will be talking their slang, but immediately the ad comes on, it must be 100% Sotho. And it's like, you know, there's a disconnect there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
Anyway, just be cognizant of the time and topics. Napster, changing tact. I mean, back into your own shop now, and I've had the benefit of spending some time with you guys. Let's talk about the development work you're doing. You're passionate about young black people. You talk about guys coming out of disadvantaged backgrounds, not knowing they can make a career out of advertising.
So, our agency is called Napster Collective.
Mm.
And, our approach and our model is quite different. We have intentionally positioned ourselves as a non-traditional ad agency. Mm. I think you briefly touched on the challenges that you face going against the big guys.
Mm.
So we've developed a business that complements the industry and doesn't compete with it.
Mm.
So we are a collaborative agency. So agencies and clients would call us for specialized work, comedic writing, vernac writing, culture work, insights, you know, and workshops around township and street culture.
Mm.
So our building, which you visited, is a co-work space.
Mm.
And the whole idea there is we realize that a lot of young black creatives, those who are already in the system, biggest challenge is something as simple as office space.
Mm.
I need Wi-Fi, I need a place to work. You know, I can't even afford the odd coffee shop because by the time I leave there, I've got a 300-rand bill.
Sure.
So we've got a space there. We've got Wi-Fi and we've got very, very affordable rates where guys come there.
Mm.
But the idea is we're creating a community there where we can pass work on to guys. And, you know, they are part of our network of collaborators and suppliers. And added to that is the interns that we bring in there.
Mm.
You know, one of our guys, his name is Beachbody. So you remember Beach and his crazy colors. Beach didn't come from any formal learning. Beach was a comedian I met in Durban. I was like, dude, you are an ad guy. He didn't even know what advertising is. Come to Joburg. He came through, mentored him. We did Ogilvy. We did FCB. We did McCann. And the guy is flying, you know, Lurie nominated and all those things just to prove that some guys just need barrier to entry. They just need, you know.
Barriers to entry is something which I also feel very strongly about. And just switching now from the advertising side back onto the radio side is that it's really one of the worst kept secrets in the country. But community radio is incredibly powerful. If it's you go so back amazing. To the MTN Radio Awards, the very first one, anecdote, if I may, talking, we still got time on this, but so Jerry Maggs was chairing the whole thing, and he said, okay, right, we're going to have this People's Station Award. And I said, yeah, that's got to be the worst idea ever. Why don't we just give the award to Kwazi FM, 7 million listeners.
Mm.
Anyway, he forced it through, and as it transpires, he was completely right, and I was completely wrong.
Mm.
Do you know what the first People's Award? Now, this is people voting for their favorite station, okay? So you would think – It's got to be your cause. Okay, right. It's a station called Ubushli Bishawi.
Wow.
It's the community station in Ishawi. Now, if you've ever been to Ishawi, sometimes you might know, because if you blink, you've gone through the other side, okay, and then you're at Mpangeni. But no listeners, and yet somehow they muscled enough magic out of their no listeners to win the plumbing thing. So how do you do that? I mean, are you working with those programming guys as well to unleash the magic of community communication?
One of the things we did with that telecom thing as well is we intentionally challenged the client to have another look at media. So part of regionalize, you can't regionalize a message and disregard community stations.
Mm.
Community stations are on the ground. Community stations are powerful. I mean, LXFM is huge. And the thing about LXFM is so many of these big DJs came through there. So community starts becoming a little bit like a development agency, you know, but it's funny how when the people make it, they forget about community, you know. So that's one of the things that we pushed and drove for, was that, guys, let's get a lot of these ads on community. And they did really, really well. And I think that if more brands just started looking at media differently, you know, and the spend, you know, we've got to be spending and not disregard community. You know, and why do community have to stay small? You know, it's because of media spend. You know,
yeah. Look, you've got to syndicate. I mean, I think that you has the economies of scale argument will come into, but syndication, and that's just why I was posing the question, because with your comedic persona and your creative persona, syndicated material becomes an option. I suppose you've got to be cautious that you don't syndicate to the point where you separate yourself from the community and you start being formulaic again. But there's got to be a midpoint there somewhere.
Absolutely.
But I think you're right. And I think, you know, we're all saying, I think, similar stuff. And it's not a question of action. You know, we're looking at 2020. It's around the corner. And we're still discussing things like, it's a complex society, it's a melting pot, it's the rainbow nation. All those cliches, which are wonderful to say, but it's to do it now. And I think, and I don't even want to say brave marketers. I just want to say smart marketers, astute marketers, marketers who are attuned to the market, South African marketers.
Yeah.
You know, can those people please just stand up, work with the agencies, get a hold of guys like you and your collaborative of like-minded people, and just do the right thing. And as you say, sometimes award-winning work is work that works in the market, and sometimes it's not. Absolutely. We're not here to discuss awards today. I'm here to discuss, and Gordon, real stuff, Napster, and real stuff. And you know, if the guys – and just tell us again now, how are you on social platforms? How do we get hold of you?
So we are on all social platforms. We're big on Instagram. Our handle is Napster Collective. That's Napster, N-A-P-S-T-A.
Yeah.
We are available on email, hello@napstercollective.com.
Okay.
hello@napstercollective.com. We're also on Facebook, Napster Collective. Give us a shout, drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to collaborate, learn from you, and expose you to some stuff that we've learned from the streets and from the hood, and just our journey being in advertising and in the entertainment world.
Yeah. And I think, you know, from my side, and I'm certainly not bashing the big shops, because I've worked very closely and I've got a lot of respect and a lot of those guys made part of my success. But there's a place for everyone. And I think your place is, you're not going to take over from them realistically, but there is a collaboration. So it's really not competing, collaborating both with bigger agencies as well as with clients. And I think that's a wonderful place to go into. You know, it's also one of those things that rolls easy off the tongue. Let's collaborate, but actually let's collaborate.
Yeah. And I think, you know, coming back to your point as well, that we've got to recognize that creative work and, you know, work which produces a result in the marketplace are not mutually exclusive. Yeah. But where I do get concerned is where a medium such as radio is often excluded, because who wants to, you know, do a commercial for Imuti Kuhlela on Ukhozi FM? You're not going to win an award for a cough mixture thing there. So you exclude the medium, which would be a natural play out, because it doesn't look good. That's where I worry about it. But having, you know, opened it up for creative awards, then go for it. I mean, they're not mutually exclusive. I mean, but go.
Sorry, just one. I mean, just you know, I just want to talk about realness and award winning work. 2 years ago at FCB, we did a bit of work for our insurance product on cell phones. Igugu was the thing, and it was vernacular. language done multiple stations, and that actually won awards and did really well for us in the marketplace because cell phone insurance is such a real thing. So as it turned out, that was a good story where, you know, the creative work did actually show the great results as well.
That's amazing, because you never often get that scenario where real work gets to win awards everywhere.
Yeah.
So that was really, really awesome and quite fortunate. And I think for me, like you say, we differ, you know. I have respect for awards, but I think for me, powerful communications, I always say, is communication that shifts culture.
Sure.
You know, and not necessarily wins awards. There's brands that are doing really amazing work. They will never get recognition, but they're doing amazing work. Work that's touching communities, resonating with people, you know. And yeah, I agree with you, Doug, the fact that there's a world that exists for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, startups, black consultancies and big agencies and brands. I think we hear the word a lot, you know, collaboration. But in a practical sense, I mean, I'll be real. I won't lie. It's been very, very challenging, you know. We are knocking on doors day and night. And, you know, sometimes you wonder what it is that's missing, you know. But thank God there are those people, you know, like Doug, who are there to know, to give us a chance. And I think that's all one that ever asks. It's just a foot in the door, and then, you know, prove yourself, work for it, want it, you know. And I think that we actually want to make agencies and brands look good.
Yeah.
We don't have the capacity or the interest to run a FCB. It's too formal, and it's not even what we do. We are a culture agency.
Yeah.
We want to inject some chutzpah into what they do. And not that they don't have it. It's just, it can go to the next level, you know. And that's what excites us. And I'm excited about 2020 because I'm hoping more and more agencies and brands will start seeing that, oh, these guys are actually just coming with a fresh angle, but they're not here to ruffle feathers or to steal anyone's breakfast, like you say. Yeah.
So just, you know, in sort of, we're getting to kind of wrap up time, but just, I mean, looking at someone like myself, I've always stuck to the mantra, you know, within myself, that if you always believe you will learn something new tomorrow, you'll never be afraid to share what you've learned today.
Wow.
So I love that. The only reason I would never share anything with anybody if I felt I was out of ideas. So what could you do to encourage people like myself? I mean, this is the crazy world. I could speak Zulu fluently when I was 7. Now I can't. You know, I've regressed. That's just unacceptable. So what should I be doing? How do I and other guys like me get involved and embrace this and begin to kind of change the way we look at things and change the way we do things? What advice have you got for us?
So Common, who's a very cool, conscious rapper, had a lyric that said,
Doug, rapper, you know.
Oh, yeah, he was bobbing his head.
He thought you were talking about packaging again.
Nice, okay. I actually heard him mumble. Yeah, that's what's up. So Common said, what's going to change the world is old people's wisdom and young people's energy. And once again, for me, a world that exists for everyone is, you know, everyone's talking about millennials, afrillennials, and this new buzz and this new thing that's happening. But the truth is, wisdom is needed. Mm. That's why you need people who have earned the stripes, who have been in the game long enough, you know. And that's why you also need... So I say this, and I know I might be digressing, but I don't believe in color. I don't believe privilege is a color thing. I think privilege is exposure. So if you are white and you had privilege, you were just exposed. So when I get a white friend... and he was exposed to money from a young age, investing land, he can expose me to that world. Then I learn something. But if I treat him like an enemy of mine, I exclude myself from information because there are a lot of people, white people, old and young, who are ready to give. They just don't know how, you know. And I think one of those things is skills transfer. Access to information, mentorship, you know, you'll be amazed how shadowing can just change someone's lives, you know. Some of these kids cannot even imagine, you know, the things that are happening outside the township.
Sure.
You know, that typical take a girl to work, just take someone under your wing and they would be like, Oh my goodness. Okay. Running a business. What? Oh, overheads. Oh, wow. I mean,
sure,
you know,
sure.
A friend of mine who did corporate finance for PwC, offers some of his time, and he just takes us through some of these talks. Just those talks alone, for me, I'm like, this is exposure, you know. So I think to your question of what can someone like you do, I think it's young people having access to you and you sharing information. And then I'm also learning from young people. So I believe that we can all learn from, because our world is changing so fast. Mm. These Afrillennials and millennials, it's just crazy, you know, but we can all learn something from them. But it's going to take old people and young people coming together. I think even our companies, you know, this thing that there's no place for old people in companies, in radio stations. You know, no, you need everybody. You need the people who have done the hard yards, because, you know, that's legacy. That's, you know, structure and system and wisdom and experience. Then the young guys will run. They see what the future looks like. But without structure and experience, we're going to go back to where we are, where more and more young people are opening businesses. 3-5 years, they close down.
Yeah.
No mentors, no financial advice, nothing. You know, so that's what I think.
Great.
Well, that's great news, because I mean, I think that's in very large measure what the Doc and myself are hoping to do on the show is to facilitate open discussion. I think in our opening show we talked about one of my concerns is that so much of the narrative is happening behind the scenes and not enough of it's being shared. And I think the more we can talk, you know, on a forum like this, and please guys, you know, if you're subscribing or you're following us, follow us on Facebook, you know, just communicate with us. Tell us what topics that, you know, you would like us to address, because we really want no holds barred. If we can't do it here, then we can't do it. I mean, you know, that's the real deal for us.
Absolutely, Gordon. And again, Napster, thanks for your honesty and you know, sharing with us so openly. And really, for people listening out there, get hold of Napster. If you're a client, give it a go.
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen? If you're a bigger agency, work with the guys, you know, do the right South African thing. Collaborate, don't compete. So from my side, Gordon, always nice. Napster, thanks very much for your time. Really appreciate it. And until next time, Gordon, we'll catch you then.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Napster, for being in here. And I'm going to appropriate that name for myself at my age. I think I'm going to become the Napster. Like, so maybe, if I look at my clock, now, it is about time for me to have a little lie down. So with goodbye from the other Napster.
The name comes with the hair, so I think we should hook you up with dreadlocks.
Love that hair, bro. Love that hair. That's my new look. I can see myself. And I don't think Kenny Regis will let me in the office with my hair like that.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for the opportunity, and all the best with the show. I think it's going to be awesome to have some honest conversations and to have a platform where people can be real.
Thanks. Great. Doc, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Gordon. See you there now. And so that was another episode of The Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get a hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get a hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mataz. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views, and certainly will respond, and hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on in the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.